Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well met, fellow adventurers. We are once again continuing the adventures of Sir Croakington. And we're going to find the west, or as many as we can before we reach an hour, of the glyphs of Cladderock. So far we found two. The next one will be in the ruined city of Tarn, which is in northwest Tysa. And it's clearly labelled. From the summit of a barren slope at the eastern end of a deep, rocky vale that delves between two of the northernmost spurs of the mighty Fadowin range. You stare down at the shattered remains of Tarn, the legendary city of sorcerers. Over the centuries since its abandonment, following the uprising that cast the Tarn Hearn from power, the city has succumbed to decay and fallen into ruin. Its once grand boulevards are now little more than rubble-choked passages that meander through a perilous maze of toppled monuments and crumbling building, those time and purpose have long since been forgotten. Long indeed is the list of illustrious adventurers who have ventured into the ruined city, never to return. Tucked in between the broad outcropping of rock is a small sheltered hollow. Now, Tarn is another one of those replayable dungeons. It's probably the one that takes the longest to complete. Although it's, you could probably go either way compared to the Hall of Ruin. Depending on how thorough you are with both of them. For both of them, the minimal one where you just do enough to get out, just do a minimum to clear it, can probably be done 5 minutes, but a full one, especially in Tarn, where you go to the secret place with the statue, we're talking nearly an hour. We've thoroughly explored Tarn in other episodes. Alright, anyway, let's enter the sheltered hollow. A small hollow is deeper than it first appears and offers a sheltered and relatively safe place to rest. A grey-bearded man lies sleeping at the edge of the hollow, his head propped up against a rock and his weather-stained blue hat pulled over his eyes. The man, after a fit of loud snoring, mutters something inaudible, does not wake up. Alright, I assume this is somehow tied to the glyphs, because very, very few people go here, because it's far away from everything and it's incredibly dangerous. Wake the sleeping man. As you step towards the sleeping man, he suddenly springs up and draws a short sword. Tipping back his floppy blue hat and fumbling with the weapon he's shakily pointing at you, he demands that you state your business. Sneaking up on a man to cut his throat while he sleeps requires some explaining, he snarls. I will kill you where I stand before I let a murderer get the best of me. The grey-bearded man, his attire bearing the unmistakable signs of a long stint in the wilds, accusingly glares at you. Okay. Look, I think you've probably gone through a whole lot of bad stuff. A lot of bad stuff. Honestly, you probably went through hell to be just lost here. Lost here on your own with no place to go. No place to go and no one to look after you. No. Like, do you happen to have a grand residence? Maybe. I guess you could, I could let you stay there. I mean, I probably, Sir Corrigan probably already has that as a homeless shelter, because she's a good person. That's probably what she does. His attire bearing the accusingly glares at you. The man, still shaking, takes a tentative step towards you, waving his sword about in an erratic manner. Realizing that you somehow need to convince the grey-bearded man you mean him no harm, you begin calmly explaining your reason for visiting the sheltered hollow. Right, picking a number, a bonus of 70. 40 from diplomacy, 10 from aura, 10 from mind, 10 from spirit. There's no success number because this will be one of those cumulative checks that we've had in the last two places. Pick now. 147. The man listens thoughtfully as you attempt to assuage any lingering misgivings he may have regarding your attentions and your sudden appearance in the hollow. The man, still shaking, takes a tentative step towards you, waving his sword about in an erratic manner. The man seems largely sceptical of your explanation thus far, and takes another step towards you, with no desire to resort to violence. Although, Sir Crockington would be very, very good at that, if it came to it. You continue to try and assuage his fears. It's the same check again, pick now. 134. The man listens thoughtfully as you attempt to assuage any lingering misgivings he may have regarding your intentions and your sudden appearance in the hollow. The man, still shaking, takes a tentative step towards you, waving his sword about in an erratic manner. The grey-bearded man halts his slow advance, and you begin to discern a change in his attitude. You see the... In his cumulative checks, the text slowly changes as you make progress. Despite this positive development, you continue to work towards allaying any lingering doubts he may have. Picking a number. Bonus of 70 as before. Pick now. 112. The man listens thoughtfully as you attempt to assuage any lingering misgivings he may have regarding your intentions and your sudden appearance in the hollow. 32 experience diplomacy, at last. With the bearded man only steps from where you stand, your diplomatic efforts pay off. Clearly affected by your calming words and non-threatening demeanour, and be really small. That probably helps. Because remember, Sir Crokington is a toad. The man returns his sword to his sheath and offers you a heartfelt apology. I think my time in the rough has made me just a bit too suspicious, he says, reaching up to adjust his large blue hat. Well, I'd best be off before the day grows any shorter. I've no liking for wandering around these parts in the dark. The man walks back to the spot in which he's been sleeping and receives a leather satchel, which he hoists onto his shoulder. As he does so, a tear in the bottom of the pack widens, and a flat, rounded grey stone slips out onto the ground. A glowing blue glyph, the insignia of Clattenbrook, adjoins the rock. Dawn's the rock. Well, that's lucky. It just dropped out. I hope he doesn't lose anything else from his pack. Yeah. Alright, I'll probably have to tell him, hey, your pack's broke. Fortunately, I happen to be, what is it? What am I of woodmanship now? I'm a master woodsman, so I probably know how to how to scavenge various things in the wild to fix stuff. Or at least a temporary patch until we get to a town, really, you know, have proper thread and get a new bag. Your pulse quickens as you lock your gaze onto the third of Claddenwood's cliffs. Yes, that's the effect it has on folks, says the bearded man, having taken notice of your profound interest in the stone. Go on, you can have it. Will real weight off my back to have it gone. Wears on you that peace does. Not in any natural way. Some devil about it, to be sure. Go ahead. You can have it. Take it. Okay, how did he get it, though? Alright, do these glyphs have some sort of thing about them that ensures that they end up in notable places? That they don't say end up? That they don't go on a boat that sinks in the bottom of the Sand Split or get lost at the bottom of a rabbit burrow or any other place where even if you magically were directed to it, it would be really hard to find. Without hesitation, you thank the stranger and step over to the marked stone. As you reach down to pick up the stone, a sense of dread washes over you. The bearded man, as if having felt the sensation, begins slowly backing away. You instinctively shrink away from the stone as a swirling black portal opens several feet to your left. The sensation of dread, even stronger now, claws at your resolve as your eyes are drawn to the inking, churning core of the vortex. Now, I'm thinking this is somehow tied to the demons that the lady in the painting. I forgot her name because I'm very silly. This portal could presumably. They do not want me to find these seven glyphs, because then I'll probably somehow be able to get the demon to me and just choppy 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 choppy, slashy smashy smashy smashy, and do the things that someone with over 300 MR can do, but which they couldn't do because they probably only had. They probably had less than 100 MR, because, you know, they were wizards, not warriors. I'm sure if they probably had their time to prepare, they probably could have arranged some devastating magical trap, but that they didn't. Because I think I think they were too busy arguing, and the lady mage probably didn't really occur to her that things could go this dreadfully wrong, even though she was probably told repeatedly, "Hey, if you mess around with the deep neverness, you can end up summoning all sorts of crazy stuff." Yeah, but that's only incompetent mages. Are you saying I'm incompetent? No. Well, they don't. I mean, even the greatest mage. No, only a no one knows what's there. You could, anything could turn up. Are you calling me? Are you saying I'm reckless? I'm totally full of wreck. I have so much wreck in me. I'm absolutely wrecked with wreck. Okay. Pick a random number. Bonus of 60. 20 from mind, 20 from aura, 20 from spirit. Pick now. 94. Your eyes shut, your body trembles, and your mind floods with an incomprehensible jumble of thoughts as you struggle to stave off the sense of fear assailing your psyche as the terror abruptly ebbs. Your eyes fly open, and your gaze is again transfixed by the churning core of the portal. The churning portal slowly widens, and a strange hypnotic hum issues from the swirling portal. The fear that grips you is almost paralyzing, making it difficult for you to concentrate on anything else. Same check again. Pick now. 146. Your eyes shut, your body trembles, and your mind floods with an incomprehensible jumble of thoughts as you struggle to stave off the sense of fear assailing your psyche. As the terror abruptly ebbs, your eyes fly open and your gaze is again transfixed by the churning core of the inky portal. A low rumble issues from the portal as flames subtly surround the shadowy edges of the sinister gate. Framed in the centre of the churning vortex, darker than the inky fabric of the portal itself, is a hulking, vaguely humanoid silhouette. You tremble involuntarily as your sense of fear deepens. Something is coming through the portal. Presumably, the demon that they accidentally summoned, which bounced back their curses and turned them all into paint, and turned them into paintings, and somehow this got their adopted children caught up in it as well. Alright, picking a number. Yeah, same check as before, pick now. 138. Your eyes shut, your body trembles, and your mind floods with an incomprehensible jumble of thoughts as you struggle to send off the sense of fear assailing your psyche. As the terror abruptly ebbs, your eyes fly open, and your gaze is again transfixed by the churning core of the inky, fire-rimmed portal. The fire around the rim of the portal suddenly blazes with renewed intensity as the dark figure begins to emerge from the core of the vortex. With your heart pounding, you close your eyes and struggle against the fear, now threatening to completely overwhelm you. Picking a number. Bonus, and same as before, pick now. 82. With your eyes shut, your body trembles, and your mind floods with an incomprehensible jumble of thoughts as you struggle to stave off the sense of fear assailing your psyche. As the terror abruptly ebbs, your eyes fly open, and your gaze is again transfixed by the churning core of the inky, fire-rimmed portal. You instinctively shrink away from the stone, as a swirling black portal opens several feet to your left. Oh, there's two portals now? Was the first portal just a distraction? The sensation of dread, even stronger now, claws at your resolve as your eyes are drawn to the inky, churning core of the vortex. Same check again, pick now. 105. Your eyes shut, your body trembles, and your mind floods with an incomprehensible jumble of thoughts as you struggle to stave off the sense of fear assailing your psyche. As the terror abruptly ebbs, your eyes fly open, and your gaze is again transfixed by the churning core of the inky, fire-rimmed portal. 32 experience to general. Gasping, you sink to one knee as the portal suddenly closes, leaving behind no trace of itself, all the shadowy figure at its core. Wary from your exertion, you struggle to regain your breath. A flash of blue light to your left draws your gaze, and you turn around. You turn to find the stone bearing Gladderwolf's glyph still lying on the ground. You pick up the flat, rounded stone and tuck it safely amongst your other possessions. After waiting for several minutes to see if the bearded stranger in the large blue hat will return, you begin to make your way out of the hollow, but as you near its edge, you freeze in mid-step. etched onto a bare patch of earth at the foot of the path that climbs out of the hollow is a single word. Dragonwaff. Alright, that's the town. We'll go there. You immediately suspect the bearded man who ran off after attacking you must have scrawled the message in the dirt. Realising that Dragonwaff almost certainly refers to the silver mining settlement of that name, situated on the northeast edge of Barrowlock. Keen to see if the strange clue leads you to the fourth glyph, you decide to travel to Dragonwaff as soon as possible. After taking one last look around, you climb up and out of the hollow and set out from the ruins of the Sorceress City. Alright, let's get away from here. Alright, southeast, Barrowlock region, Dragonwaff. Alright, I'm not going to read the town description. Because, well, we read all that stuff, I don't know, 50, 60 episodes back when we actually visited Dragonwaff. Well, it might be more than that. Anyway, you scroll down, you'll eventually find it. Alright, where to go? Well, just go everywhere. Hopestone Inn. Speak with Winwald. Continue conversing. Alright, purchase a mug of paleo. Nope, that's all new. Today's meal. Scorched chicken. No. Thumbrex Mercantile. Converse with your ally. Saying nice things about Wakamora. Doing my smithy. Leave the smithy. Bruce Lord's Paleo Den. Small room off the main hall. Okay. Judging by the section numbers, which are similar to the ones we've just had, this content was released at very close to the same time as these glyphs we've just found, and so it's probably part of it. This small room, just off the Paleo Den's main hall, contains several tables and numerous chairs, most of which are at least somewhat in disrepair. Unlike much of the west of Dragonwaff, a fairly cheery atmosphere abides. Let's go there again. Third time's a charm? No? Leave the Paleo Den? Okay, maybe that wasn't to do with this, but some other event. Visit Cinder Hall. Suddenly, while making your way towards Cinder Hall, you spot a woman in a green cloak leaning back against a wagon, her piercing gaze fixed on you. Curious, you warily make your way over to her, remaining mindful of your surroundings and her possible intentions. "I didn't expect to see you quite so soon," she says, tossing long golden locks of the thick hair back over her left shoulder. "I know you've come here seeking, and you can have it. But only if you can prove to me you're worthy of such a peace." The woman, whose advancing age has done little to affect her striking beauty, draws out a flat, wound stone from a pouch at her side and holds it out towards you. The blue, faintly glowing insignia of Cladenbrook adorns the stone. "The fourth glyph," she says, placing the stone back into the pouch. "It's important to collect them in the proper order. So far, you've done that. We really shouldn't waste any time. Shall we have our little game?" Okay, what is this game? "The game?" "The game?" she scoffs, shaking her head at a look of incredulity spreads across her face. "This is most certainly not a game. So are you ready for a little game? Okay. Puzzled, you carefully consider your response. Okay, just give me the stone. Give it to you? She scoffs, the look of incredulity spreading across her face. I will give it to you if you do well enough for the game. If you don't, there will be... Oh, why worry about that? The woman tosses her hair over her white shoulder as she warily glances around. All right, we're safe. Let's begin. As previously, the cloaked woman speaks slowly and presents to you a challenging logic riddle. Again, stressing that there are consequences for incorrectly answering it. Taking care not to overlook any of the details she provided, you endeavour to come up with the correct answer to the first riddle, picking a number. Bonus for 60. 20 from mind, 20 from aura, 20 from spirit. Got to get 75 or more or something bad will happen. Pick now. 151. Success. The woman smiles and nods when you confidently speak the answer to her riddle. Let's have another go, she says. Speaking slowly, stressing words of obvious import, the cloaked woman presents to you a difficult logic riddle and indicates in a somewhat sinister manner there are consequences for giving an incorrect answer. Taking care not to overlook any of the answers she provided, you endeavour to come up with the correct answer to the second riddle. Pick a number, bonus 60, same as before. Now you've got to get 80, because it's a difficult riddle. Pick now. 97, success. The woman smiles and nods when you confidently speak the answer to this riddle. Let's have another go, she says. Speaking slowly, stressing words of obvious import, the cloaked woman presents to a formidable logic riddle, indicates in a somewhat sinister manner that there are consequences for giving an incorrect answer. Taking care not to overlook any of the details she provided, you endeavour to come up with the correct answer to the third riddle. Picking a number, bonus 60, success is 85 this time. Pick now, 111, success. The woman smiles and nods when you confidently speak the answer to her riddle. Let's have another go, she says. Speaking slowly, stressing words of obvious import, the cloaked woman presents to you an extremely challenging logic riddle and indicates in a somewhat sinister manner there are consequences for giving an incorrect answer. Taking care not to overlook any of the details she's provided, you endeavour to come up with the correct answer to the fourth riddle, picking a number, bonus 60, success, 90 this time, pick now, 152, that's pretty much as well as it could have gone. The woman smiles and nods when you confidently speak the answer to his riddle. Let's have another go, she says. Speaking slowly, stressing words of obvious import, the cloaked woman presents to you a supremely difficult logic riddle and indicates in a somewhat sinister manner there are consequences for giving an incorrect answer. Taking care not to overlook any of the details she provided, you endeavour to come up with the correct answer to the fifth riddle. Picking a number, now we've got to get 95. Pick now, 121, success. The woman smiles and nods when you confidently speak the answer to his riddle. Let's have another go, she says. Speaking slowly, stressing words of obvious import, the cloaked woman presents to you an impossibly complex logic riddle and indicates in a somewhat sinister manner there are consequences for giving an incorrect answer. Taking care not to overlook any of the details she's provided, you endeavour to come up with the correct answer to the sixth riddle. Alright, got to get 100 this time, same bonus as before, pick now. 108, success, close, but I still got past. The woman smiles and nods when you confidently speak the answer to his riddle. Well, let's see him more out of riddle, she says. Woman bows deeply and congratulates you on your ability to answer her riddles. Might all seem a bit odd, she says. But if you only knew what lies behind this business, hidden in the shadows. There is much more to this than the petty squabbles of dabbling sorcerers. She reaches into the pouch at her side, draws out the glyph-marked stone and hands it to you. Alright, that's 4 glyphs of gladden work. Now, you're about to thank the woman for the stone, when a pall of dense, unnatural gloom suddenly takes form around her. Before you draw on your next breath, she slumps into a motionless heap on the ground. Her cloaked form rapidly dissolves into a thin black puddle that melts into the stony earth. Alright, then she's gone back to being trapped wherever the glyph has put them. Wherever the spell has put them. I think these glyphs, they can only bring them out just long enough. Just long enough to pass us on to the next one. Or something like that. It's all a bit complicated. And it's even made even more complicated because there was a demon that turned up and complicated things further. And it was rushed, which probably also complicated things. Yeah, so it's a bit of a mess, this spell turned out to be. But, well, the best Cladderwood could do in the time he had, which was literally seconds. As you're about to leave, a small child suddenly runs up to you, smiling and waving. Immediately wary, you politely mimic the greeting, which elicits a giggle from the young girl. Have you ever been to the Eye of the Sea, she asks. Heard about it, but I'd like to see it. It's very far away. I don't think I'll ever go there. Bye. With that, the child scampers off, rejoining a small group of other children rushing to answer the mother's call. Realising the young girl has likely given you a clue to the location of the next of Cladderwork's glyphs, you decide to immediately set out from Dragonwrath. As you prepare to leave town, a sense of despair passes over you, and you cast your gaze about the mining settlement, which appears eerily and inexplicably desolate. With that, you begin making your way out of Dragonwrath, praying that the weather will hold as you embark on the long trek to your next destination. You can't help but wonder what a return to Port Halleck holds in store. Alright, I'm gonna save now, and then make my way to Port Halleck, which, just like it was in the previous episode, is in Northern Tysa. One of only 2 permanent places in Northern Tysa. It's a pretty empty quadrant of the map, but there's quite a few adventures here. Alright, let's visit the Eye of the Sea. The Eye of the Sea is a massive, eye-shaped rock, sitting atop a tall mound of earth that overlooks Port Halleck Cove. It is said the eye was raised from the depths of the cove by a powerful spellcaster many years ago. Okay, but how did it get into the depths of the cove? Was it perhaps the eye of an absolutely ginormous statue? With somehow separate because they had a system in place to replace the eyes, because like the Roman statues, they had to change them constantly. They had to constantly change the statues to change who they were honouring. You know, like Roman statues, they had detachable heads and things because they went through emperors so fast. He was like, hi, I'm the emperor. Oh, I'm the new emperor. Oh, no, I've already been stabbed. And then the guy behind me, oh, I've also been stabbed. And then the guy behind me, oh, I have also been stabbed. Okay, that's slightly spared out, but a lot of stabbing and poisoning and choking. Just generally not a very safe, probably honestly the most dangerous profession ever, being a Roman emperor. But the only person who managed to, you know, get out of it alive was Diocletian, who just said, you know what? I'm sick of being emperor. You, this place is just too messed up for me. I'm retiring. I'm going to grow some turnips. And then he did. And he retired to, he tried to a rather nice estate in the countryside and grew some turnips. And they was like, please, Emperor Diocletian, come back. Have you seen how great these turnips are? I'm not going to the stab fest of being imperial politics. I've got turnips. You know the thing about turnips? They don't try to stab you. Now a piece of local folklore. It has come to be believed that the eye possesses mystical powers, and it watches over the vessels that leave Port Halleck to brave the open waters of the Sundrun Sea. Let's kneel and pray before the eye of the sea. Ooh, we have a suddenly. And you can tell by the section number, this is to do with our current quest. It's not just a random suddenly that I missed. As you kneel in silent prayer before the eye of the sea, your heart nearly skips a beat when you spot a small, familiar marking adorning the base of the monument, one of Cladonwook Cliffs. The blue insignia of Cladonwook, a trio of eyes over which arcs a Ben Tower, is emblazoned on the edge of the block of stone that serves as the eye's footing. Without warning, the symbol flares a brilliant shade of blue and vanishes. Mystified and dismayed, you return to your feet, only to be suddenly aware of someone lurking to your right. You instinctively spin to your right and assume a defensive stance, only to find yourself looking upon a dark-haired young woman, clad in a hooded tunic, her hands painted over her hips. The woman regards you with a quizzical look, as if attempting to gauge your intentions. "It's about time you arrived," she says, though her demeanour doesn't suggest annoyance. "I've been waiting a very long time to be rid of these. I'm sure you know what they are. Or at the very least, what it is they look like." I have to believe you're toting about four of them. Isn't that right?" Before you can respond, she reaches into a pocket on her tunic and produces three fat, flat, rounded stones, each bearing the blue insignia of Cladonwook, and holds them up for you to see. Ooh, three at a time. That's nice. That'll save time. "I've been told you're seeking these," he says, waving the stones about before placing them back into pocket. "You can have all three of them, but know that these aren't real. They only serve to represent what you wish to acquire. I will help you find their actual counterparts." The young woman reaches out towards you with both of her hands and asks you to take them. "Clasp my hands, and we can begin what will be the end," she says. "It will be the end for me. But for you, there will still be all that is ahead. Please, take my hand." Driven by an overwhelming urge to comply with the request, you gently take hold of her outstretched hands. The instant you grasp the young woman's hand, her face becomes enveloped in a dazzling white glow that obscures its features. She adjusts her grasp and squeezes her hands with a startling amount of force, for a voice, which is from somewhere beyond the glaring light remains unchanged. Oh, Neva Githela. Oh, yeah, that's the name of the woman in the painting. Nor Cladderwook are what they seem, she says, further tightening her grip on your hands. They are darkless and light, but fair and vile, we and imagined, never and always. That which was forbidden was pursued to a disastrous end, all while ignoring the magic in the very mist, enchantment begging to be noticed. The prisons are of their own making, yet I cannot bring myself to judge them. They were spiteful, but compassion tempered their less fortuitous trace. Obtain the last three glyphs, and you will possess the means to set them free. To set us all.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All free. If it should remain your desire to do so. Suddenly, the woman's grasp lessens. Lessons, and her hands slip free from yours as a voice begins to trail away. The last three stones are in the keeping of my... A man in Twithic, she whispers. The Blight is the self-proclaimed lord of the Adderstone. Find him where the lost may become hopelessly so, and bring this all to an end. Look. Not upon on his floors, and do not fear him, for his spirit remains pure, despite the weathering of his tortured soul. With that, a brilliant flare of white light consumes the entirety of the young woman's form, its intensity forcing you to cower and avert your eyes. When the blinding glow has faded, you turn to find that the mysterious woman is gone. You begin... You search the area immediately surrounding the ISC, but find no trace of the young woman who vanished in a flare of white light. As you stand staring up at the towering monument, you clearly recall her final words. The last of the three stones is the keeping of my... A man in Twithic. The Blight is the self-proclaimed lord of the Adderstone. Find him where the lost may become hopelessly so. Realising that your chance to acquire the last three stones bearing Cladderwick's glyph lies in Twithic, you resolve at once to set out for the Adderstone and begin your search for the Blight. Alright, let's do that. Alright, to Twithic. Explore the city. Alright, northern part. Gladderung's End, perhaps. Alright, visit the Alnok Tavern. Leave the fence, move elsewhere in the city. Eastern? No. Alright, northern again. The Wassel Grouse Gambling Hall. Sight not to enter. Okay, Lost may become hopelessly so. Adderstone's Tunnel? No. What's the Tarnished Key? The Tarnished Key is a long abandoned tavern, the end of a rubbish strewn lane in Twithic's North End, and now serves as a refuge for some of the city's downtrodden. It is rumoured that Thane Poland has given the order that those taking shelter of the tavern are not to be harassed by the city guard, provided the dilapidated structure does not become a den of ill repute. As you make your way about the building's decaying interior, you find yourself the target of countless stares, from the dozens of lost souls lounging and lurching in the half-gloom. After completing a disquieting trek around Twithick's, around the tavern's first floor, not daring to climb the rickety steps leading up to the second story, you make your way back outside, thankful to be exiting the grim confines, occupied by those whose distressing lot in life you're grateful to have avoided. Alright, okay. Lost become hopelessly so, Larlock's Monastery. That's sealed up. Shop named Binevere's. Need the shop. Alright, well. Lost become hopelessly so. Explore the city. Wither Docks. Withergate Emporium, no. Longtooth Inn, nah. The Grinning Otter Gardoffer Warehouse, no. Now he's here somewhere, but there's a lot of places in. Visit Blade Square. Visit the Well of Blades. Lost may become hopelessly so. Eastern part, my residence. No, it can't be that, because you have to unlock that. Alright, leave the grounds, Silver Crest, leave the headquarters, Adderstone Tunnels, to the north section, Adderstone Tunnels to the east section. Adderstone Tunnels to Blade Square. The lost may become hopelessly so. Curious things. I'm sure it's here somewhere. City gates. Explore the city. I'm going to pause for a bit until I actually find where I'm supposed to go. Because the clue just doesn't seem obvious to me. Because I'm a dum-dum. Okay, I try to enter the Rustled Grouse Gambling Hall. I actually talked to the guards about why it was closed. And now we have a suddenly. Thing is that actually people lost can become hopeless. So yep, gambling can happen. Gambling can definitely do that. Right, we got a suddenly. As you step away from the gambling hall, you catch sight of a man lurking in a nearby alley, signalling to you by furtively waving his hand. Intrigued but wary, you slowly make your way over to him, your every sense alert for the first sign of possible danger. Well met, stranger, says the dark-haired, middle-aged man, his bony tunic draped in a tattered grey cape stoned to his tattered. His bony shoulders scraped in a tattered grey cape sewn to his ragged tunic. Have a coin for a poor old beggar? The man's face, a riddle of scars and seeping sores, grins broadly as he shakily extends his cupped hands. You know what? You know, you're going to need some gold to get some sort of cream to put on your face. Because seeping sores. I mean, the scars are probably fine because the scars hang around. If you live long enough, you're going to have scars. It just happens. Although you have a lot of that, it's just a lot of stuff has happened. Give him a gold token. You attempt to hand them Ragged Man a gold token, but he quickly withdraws his cupped hand and shakes his head. You'd be better off wagering that gold than giving it away to the wretched, he says, turning to the side and spitting. The poor don't know what to do with it. They'll use it to acquire food and prolong their miserable existence. Leave them to rot in the whole unsavory sea of them will soon be sorted out. Repulsed by the man's appearance and demeanour, you boldly inquire if he's known as the Blight. He immediately straightens himself up, takes a step back, and narrows his eyes as his lips curl into a hideous sneer. Suddenly, the man's sneer melts into a jovial grin, and he begins dancing about, his arms and legs flailing, as if to the rhythm of silent music. A fit of coughing abruptly curtails the strange outburst, and he spends the next several moments regaining his breath and composing himself. Yes, I've been called a Blight. I've also been called the Blight, if you're inquiring. I've also been called names you wouldn't be able to pronounce. You haven't the tongues for it. But there's no shame in that. After all, we've only just met and I already like you. I can't say that about most of those I meet. Which is quite unfortunate for them. Yes, I'm the Blight. Yes, I'm the Blight, but we needn't stand on ceremony, it's just Blight. Please, I insist. You haven't met my father, have you? The man steps to your left and peers around you as he guards round you at the guards stationed outside the rustled grouse. He immediately begins moving further along the alley and beckons for you to follow. For immediately wary of the strange figure, you find yourself oddly drawn to him, keen to prevent him from coming to harm. You cautiously trail after him as he strolls along the alley. After covering nearly 20 yards, Blight abruptly halts and turns back to face you, his eyes twinkling and his cracked, diseased adult lips forming just the hint of a smile. "This is it," he exclaims, twirling on his heels and throwing his hands to the sky. "This is where the King of Trithic holds talk. The city never knew a wake like me, and never will again. Here comes Blight. Step aside for Blight. Give the dice to Blight. Turn down the cards for Blight." As he continues to wave, you're quick to note that the Blight's faint smile has twisted into a hideous scowl. "Not all days are happy ones," he says, folding his arms and toeing the ground with the tattered remnants of a boot that still cling to his foot. "You make promises and some souls see fit to forgive you. You make other promises and some return to collect. I've met the forgivers and the collectors. I think I know which of them is worse, but I can't swear to it. Have you seen my sister? She was just here. She'll be back." Disregarding these apparent ramblings, you ask Blight if he knows anything about cliff-marked stones, holding up one of those in your possession for him to see. "Yes, yes, yes," he stammers. "I know all about those. I had three of them at one time, but the collectors took them. One by one they took all three. If you can get them back, you can have them. They're a nasty knot, though, the collectors, that is. I'll say you're better off forgetting those stones, or letting me fetch them for you. I know how the collectors work, and I have an advantage in that regard. Blight tells you that if you prove yourself by besting him in a game of cards and dice, he do what he can to acquire for you the three stones held by the collectors. It's the only bargain I'm willing to make, he says. And I wouldn't offer it at all if I didn't like you so much. Have you seen my cat? He usually doesn't stray very far, you'll like him. If also a rat, if that's more to your fancy. Blight grins expectantly, so I can agree to the bargain and thus, continue the adventure, or I could refuse and just to see what happens. Although I suspect it, somehow this will lead to me doing it anyway. But I've just got to see how it does it. Refuse? Your refusal abruptly turns the man's grin into a scowl. He spits at his feet and curses. The bargain's already been made, he scowls. Now you'll enjoy getting the short end of it. You'll play our game and you'll wager your life for those stones. Oh, sorry, that's just how it is. I'll play the game just like a collector. The mite. As the blight steps closer, you attempt to move back, only to discover your feet are somehow rooted in place. Even demons have demons, he says, reaching into a pocket sewn into the inside of his cape and drawing out a grimy deck of cards. I wasn't always quite so tortured, so vile in thought, so wretched of station. I was the King of Trithic, and the former king decrees that we have a wager. Unable to move from where you're standing, you watch as the blight begins spreading out. As blight begins spreading at your feet, a selection of cards from his grimy deck. Our game will be Dragon's Larder, he says, leering up at you from his crouched position. Do you know it? There'll be two to follow this one, but Dragon's Larder has to be first. It simply must. For you haven't extensively played it, you fill in me enough with the well-known card game to believe you have a chance at winning it. Unless your opponent isn't playing fair. Ah, don't worry yourself, says Blight, scowling, as if he's just read your mind. Our game will be a fair one, and that's the end of any notions to the contrary. The former King of Trithic thinks fairness is a virtue. Rooted in place, with no option to engage Blight in the game of cards, you stoop down and wait to be dealt your hand. In Dragon's Larder, the first player to reach 1,000 points is the winner. Neither you nor Blight have yet scored any points. 7 for you and 7 for me, says Blight. His scorbid face bearing an inscrutable expression as he looks over his splayed secret hand of cards. We're tossing the dragons and keeping the swords, mind. Father knew to toss the dragons. His sudden mention of the obscure wall, perhaps due to the shortcomings of his hand, catches you off guard, but ultimately does little to affect your strategy. All right, picking a number. It's as it usually is, it's between 1 and 100. If it was anything else, I'll tell you. With a bonus of 84. 20 from mind, 20 from aura, 10 from luck, and 34 from thievery. So wait, 34 from thievery, so that will be... Well, my current thievery skill is 76, or is this number times 0.4 or something? It's not the number times half. Well, I'm sure someone could figure it out, but I can't be bothered. Anyway, pick now. 100! As you and the Blight both play your final cards, the ragged man grins when he's discovered he's won the current hand by a score of 194 to 100. Whoa, he is good at this. Or maybe his numbers aren't generated like ours are. Because I could not. Even if I rolled 100, I would not have done as well as that. I guess maybe he just got very lucky. With neither you nor Blight having yet reached a total of 1,000 points, the cards are collected and shuffled to prepare for the next hand. Alright, here's your next 7, says Blight, rapidly dealing your next set of cards. I think I got where I want you, but the next cards will tell the tale. You carefully study the cards, making up your hand. As you contemplate the next play, it's the same check again, pick now. As you and the Blight both play your last cards, the Ragged Man curses when it's revealed you won the current hand by a score of 172-47. Yeah, he definitely... His numbers are generated in a different way than my numbers. Because I only have a range of 100, but if between rolling a 1 and rolling a 100, so I could get either 85 to 184, and he's got a bigger range than that, just because it's just different. I guess he can get luckier sometimes, but he can also get unlucky sometimes. He just has a broader range. With neither you nor Blight having yet reached a total of 1,000 points, but I am ahead now. Cards are collected and shuffled, prepare for the next hand. Here's your next 7, says Blight, rapidly dealing you your next hand of cards. I think I got you where I want you, but the next cards will tell the tale. You carefully study the cards, making up your hand as you contemplate the next play. Okay, same check again. Pick now. I got 85. As you and Blight both play your final cards, the Ragged Man grins when it's discovered he won the current hand by a score of 201-85. I literally did as bad as I could possibly do, and he may well have done as good as he could possibly do. I don't know what system they have to determine his range. Maybe it's like not a fixed limit. Maybe there's just some, like, the further out you go, the lower the chance. With no solid limit. With neither you nor Blight having yet reached a total of 1,000 points, and he is well ahead now. The cards are collected and shuffled to prepare for the next hand. Alright. Here's your next 7, says Blight, rapidly dealing your next hand of cards. I think I've got you where I want you, but the next cards will tell the tale. You carefully study your hand. Cards make up your hand as you contemplate the next play. Same check again. Pick now. 183. And now I did almost as well as I could possibly do. I mean, I'm really just bouncing around with my success here. I went the worst possible result to the second best possible result. But that's what can happen when you have random number generator. As you and Blight both play your last cards, the Ragged Man curses when it's revealed you won the current hand by a score of 183-67. And now that pulls me ahead at 540-511. With neither you nor Blight having yet reached a total of 1,000 points. The cards are collected and shuffled to prepare for the next hand. Alright, we've passed an hour, so after this game, I'll just stop suddenly. Suddenly, because you can do that in Swift. You can just stop suddenly in the middle of nowhere, and the game will just keep your place, which is very handy. Alright, here's the next 7, says Blight, rapidly dealing you your next hand of cards. I think got where I want ya, but the next cards will tell the tale. You carefully study the cards, make up your hand, you contemplate the next play. Same check, pick now. 121. As you and Blight both play your last cards, the Ragged Man curses, which revealed you've won the current hand by a score of 1-2-1. To 79. With neither you nor Blight having yet reached a total of 1,000 points, your cards are collected and shuffled to prepare for the next hand. Here's your next 7, says Blight, rapidly dealing your next set of cards. I think I've got what I want you, but the cards will tell the tale. You carefully study the cards, making up your hand as you contemplate your next play. Same check again, pick now. 140, as you and Blight both play your final cards. The Magigran grins and discovered he won the current hand by a score of 141 to 140. Whew, that was close. What would happen if we got a draw? It might just not have turned up yet. Or if it did turn up, it was turned up by someone who didn't notice. But if you do get a draw, go put what happens in the wiki. Maybe not in the wiki, but go and share it on the Swift Discord, because I'm curious. Okay, it's 8:01 to 7:31. Neither you nor Blight having yet reached a total of 1,000 points, the cards are collected and shuffled to prepare for the next. What if we both pass 1,000 points? Alright, here's your next 7, says Blight, rapidly dealing you your next set of cards. I think I got you where I want you, but the cards will tell the tale. You carefully study the cards, make up your hand, you contemplate the next play. Same check again, pick now. You. As you and Blight both play your final cards, the Wagging Man grins when he discovers he's won the current hand by a score of 167 to 103. So 904 to 898. Alright, I think it's quite likely that we'll both get past 1,000 in the next round. With neither you nor Blight having yet reached a total of 1,000 points, the cards are collected and shuffled off to prepare for the next hand. Alright, here's your next 7, says Blight, rapidly dealing you next set of cards. I think I've got you where I want you, but the cards will tell the tale. You carefully study the cards, making up your hand as you contemplate the next play. Alright, yep, same check as before, pick now. As you and Blight both play your last cards, the Wagging Man curses when it's revealed you've won the current hand by a score of 158 to 59. Alright, I pulled ahead at the last moment. You've now reached a total of 1,000 points, making you the winner. Now, I don't know what happens if you lose, but presumably it can happen. I mean, it nearly happened. Or happens if we both go over 1,000 at the same time. Don't know what happens then. Does that count as a win for me? Well, anyway, if you do find out what happens, if you lose, or you both go over 1,000, or you both score the same number in a round, or you hit exactly 1,000, he hits exactly 1,000, or any other weird options, go share it on the Discord. 32 experience to general. Blight leaps to his feet and hurls the remainder of his hand of cards to the ground. Frowning, he mutters several curses and accuses you of cheating. Before you can respond to the accusation, he shakes his head and waves his hand. This is discounting what he just said. One must remember to regain dignity, even defeat, he says. Taking a deep breath. Mother always told us that. Never forgotten it, because she so often repeated it. Even the King of Triffitt can be beaten at his best game. Well played indeed. As you stand up, you suddenly realise you are no longer being held in place. Yes, yes, you're quite free to go, says Blight, his demeanour noticeably downtrodden. Oh, yes, the stones. Did I say you get all three of them? I suppose I did. Well, we all know a wager is a wager. Well, that's how it is. And it is, and here they are. The collectors have given them up. Honestly, I thought I'd have to do some do something to get them. Like, you direct me to a dungeon where I can get them, perhaps. But, yeah, I'm perfectly fine with this. He reaches into his pocket, inside his cape, and retrieves the 3 glyph marked stones. After briefly examining each of them in turn, he hands the stones to you. Alright, that's 3 stones. That means we've got... I've got all 7. The collectors didn't want them anymore, he says. It saddens me to think that it came to that. The Blight collects the cards and places the assembled deck back into the inside pocket of his cape. You've got the marked stones, he said. You've met all of us. For I urge you not to judge us based on what you've seen. We're not what we were. And what we are is what we never became. The ragged man points to something behind you, and you turn to find yourself confronted by a startling and bewildering sight. Standing just inside the mouth of the alley is a collection of people and creatures you've encountered while gathering Cladonwood's glyphs. From left to right, your eyes pass over the wag-clad old woman and the well-tired young girl from Port Halleck. The fat grey cat and the wretched black rat from Tarnus. The bearded man from a hollow near Tarn. The woman in a green cloak and a young woman from Dragonwrath. And a dark-haired young woman you encountered in at the Eye of the Sea. Suddenly, the Blight appears in the midst of the group and politely weaves his way to the fore. I present to you our little gallery of wandering souls, he says. We were spawned of loathing and hatred. Out of passion, misplaced, and mistakes preventable. But that can be rectified. Remember, I like you. We all do. And not just because of who you are. Because of what it is you see fit to do. As Blight takes a step forward, separating himself from the group, the young girl from Dragonwrath, the top who asked you about the Eye of the Sea, flashes you a glowing smile and briefly waves. The collectors have been paid, says Blight, his breathing suddenly laboured. There is, at last, silence in the shadows where the wary seek to speak. Please understand, the anger must end. Its consequences have been dire and far-reaching beyond all anticipation. The Blight turns and waves his hand at the group assembled behind him. You see before you 6, including me. He says, looking back to you. But we are only 2. You can count Stormcloud and Fang if you like. Because we've always counted them. That makes us 4. Yes, we are 4. As the Blight steps back to join the group and bows deeply, as the thick plumes of white mist rise out of the ground to conceal the gathered quivers. Figures. Several moments later, the fog dissipates, revealing only a young girl and boy of approximately the same age. The boy cradles a fat grey cat, while the girl gently holds a large black rat.
One day, I'll be the king of this city, chirps the lad, stepping forward to regard you.
The resolute nod.
Have you seen father and mother? Do you know them?
Something happened. Something with their magic. And now I don't know where they are.
Can you help us? Please, help us, says the girl, stroking the rat's head as the creature nuzzles
into her shoulder.
Mother promised to let us see the Eye of the Sea. But father said it was too far. Maybe it's closer now?
Both the girl and the boy take several steps back, still clutching the animals they obviously hold dear, politely bow. The boy, whom to this point you know only as Blight, introduces himself as Villarn. Following his lead, the girl tells you
Her name is Brimyar. I've been told they're in there, says Villarm, pointing to something behind you. You have to be careful. It looks dark. You turn to find a large black portal several feet away, spanning the entire breadth of the alley. The gaping vortex, its inky core emitting a low hum, echoes an immediate and profound sense of despair, as if driven by instinct. Draw out the cliff-marked stones. And you know what? We've well passed an hour. Let's stop now. In the next episode, we will find out what precisely is beyond this portal, and maybe find out how everything went wrong, although I think we know quite a lot about it. Put everything to rights, well, as right as they can be put. Six souls. Because the rat and the cat definitely have souls. Very nice souls. Free six souls and probably get something nice at the end of it. I mean, mechanically speaking, of course, the real reward is freeing the six souls. And anyway, until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.